to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here on this Wednesday morning. We are all digesting the federal budget that was announced yesterday. 500 days to wait for a new budget, and a lot. I mentioned that right off the start of the show, but if you take stock of what has happened in those 500 days in terms of our government's change, or at least adjustments, I knew the government has stayed the same, but we've got a new prime minister, of course, the change in the United States, and then everything else that has, whether you call it fallen apart or fallen into place since then, this inward focus on infrastructure and expanding our markets, diversifying our markets, and trying to hammer out trade deals, all of that stuff. It caused a lot of people, of course, to cast eyes, ears, and their minds to this federal budget. How is it going to impact me? I think the big takeaway for a lot of people, and during open lines this morning, I feel like this is where we went. There isn't a lot of instant, you know, gratification that, oh, okay, this is going to change my life. Now I'm going to see this happen at the grocery store today, or my bank account by January will be noticeably different. Maybe those were almost too grandiose ideas for people to have in their mind, but I think a lot of times that's why we look at it through that lens. How is this going to impact me? My next guest is a fellow that we've had on this program before. I always love our chats with Dr. Devin Meskel, who is a professor and Edwards Enhancement Chair in Business at the University of Saskatchewan. Devin Meskel, a world-renowned researcher specializing in taxation, and research encompasses corporate decision-making, governance, innovation, which lends itself to the discussion we're having here this morning. Dr. Meskel, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Evan.
I usually like to start talking agriculture because I know you're a farm kid like me, but you weren't out harvesting this fall, were you?
Not this year, we farmed north of Rosetown, and the crops turned out pretty good up there, so yeah. It was nice to see, I think.
Okay, let's take a look at the budget. Maybe I'll just start like I do with all of my guests, just your thoughts, your reaction to what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned earlier with some of your other guests, this is a massive document. I think we gave them too much time with that 500 days there. They came up with over pretty well 500 pages. But, the most telling for me was on page 53, if anyone wants to go through, is they have this nice table of Canada's productivity and our placement in the world as far as, you know, our ability to take what we have and turn it into value for our citizens. And it shows a nice breakdown in time from 1994 to 2007 within the G7. We were struggling and we were sixth out of seven, but we were making progress. In 2007 to 2014, we actually rose all the way up to second in the G7. We were second only to the U.S., and actually we were really close to meeting the U.S., which is just a powerhouse of productivity. And then 14 to 23, we just plummet again, and we just fall way, way back, not only in terms of the actual measure, but then also in our placement. We're all the way back down to fifth, only above Italy and France. And so, to me, that's the whole story of this budget, is sort of what happened there. And I think at that point, we sort of failed to realize, you know, the reason we can have quality schools, quality healthcare, is we're rich in natural resources, and then we invest that in developing people in our communities and sort of providing a safety net that's sort of not only humane, but also really supports the economy well. And I think we sort of shifted there. And mm-hmm. So then the question is, does this budget actually reverse that? Does it get us back to that footing where we were really using our resources well?
Devin Meskel is my guest, University of Saskatchewan. So I had Ian Lee on from Carleton yesterday. He talked about exactly what you're talking about. He said, we have seen this steady decline. He used a decade. So he said, in the last decade, our productivity in Canada has just been in the toilet. And we need to not only stop that trend, but we need to reverse it. Do you see something in this budget that's going to accomplish that?
Well, I see the government trying to do lots of things. So, I did a quick look, like you say, it's sort of hard with so many pages, but there was like over 15 different funds introduced. Mm-hmm. And so we have a strategic response fund, a trade diversification corridors fund, build strong communities, Canada Growth Fund, foreign credit recognition fund, and it goes on and on, critical mineral fund. And so all these look like amounts and ideas that are what we need. But the question becomes, can the government convert just a pot of money into actually value for the economy and the citizens.
And you know, I was reminded this morning in my earlier talk off the start of the show with Jason Childs that, you know, the notion of a budget is an inspirational document, right? That are an aspirational document, I guess, not inspirational. some would critically disagree with
me. We hope for inspiration.
An aspirational document basically that says, all things considered, best case scenario, this is where we're going to lay out. So, I mean, you wonder how much do they actually control the possibility of these outcomes actually coming to fruition?
Yeah, you know, it is, you know, like say you hope for inspiration and at least hopefully they aspire to something. And I think some of the challenges I see in this is that, they're very optimistic that we can get GDP growth up to over 3.5%, which seems like a challenge now when we're just sort of struggling to even get positive GDP growth. And then I really worry about their take on unemployment, that they sort of see unemployment peaking very soon and then quickly falling. And I think we actually just started some research at the U of S sort of looking at that that sort of showed that, you know, the combined impact of AI conversion and the tariffs, you know, we could see that actually not spike at 7.2% where they say, but it could get up towards over 9.
So what's the danger of that, Devin? Like you say, you worry about the way they see unemployment. What is the danger if they're wrong?
Well, if you want to unleash productivity, you know, you still need everybody needs to be able to pay for their groceries and pay for their housing. And all of a sudden, unemployment is a fickle thing. If it gets to a certain point, you have real impacts on not just the economy and people's ability to go out and buy things that mm-hmm. sort of creates that churn in our society, but also social impacts too, which can be challenging. And so, you know, to get that momentum that they want to create, that we need to create to get back to sort of that high productivity, if that gets too far, it'll be hard to pull it back.
Chatting today with Dr. Devin Meskel, professor and Edwards Enhancement Chair in Business at the University of Saskatchewan. I know taxation is a big part of work you've done, research you've done, from a taxation standpoint. And that not just is taxes when it comes to everyday people, but incentivizing through tax breaks. What, anything stand out in this document for you?
Yeah, you know, when I look at the Canadian economy, I think, you know, if you look at our Jays versus the Dodgers, you know, Dodgers are big home
run. Had to go there.
We've been trying
to forget this, Devin.
Wait, we signed Bieber. It's coming back.
Yeah, that's
so,
okay. That's
so
good.
That, the Dodgers are going for the home run, right? They're a home run team. You're looking for a big, the Jays were sort of, you know, we're looking for hits. We're sort of an Ernie Clement type. And so if you think that into our economy, rather than looking at sort of an economy that's really built off of large public companies, we're an economy driven by private businesses. We need our small business owners to thrive. And so in this, I do see some good news on that, on the tax front, and that's that accelerated depreciation. And so they're restoring what had sort of gone off the books about a year ago, that to allow businesses, all businesses, so our farmers, to quickly write off any investments into machinery or capital. And so I think that could have a positive impact, you know, with our productive crops this year, mm-hmm. to go buy, you know, new combines and tractors and trucks and all that, get that tax deduction for the whole thing right away. All of a sudden that helps cover the cost of
right.
those things.
So we had a caller, we actually had a couple of callers yesterday. We got into this discussion on GDP, and if we want to see GDP grow, what role does taxation play? Is that a real vehicle for government?
You know, this is a really interesting question. This is, you know, what I spent a lot of my time thinking about and studying, you know, and I would say up to this point in history, we've had a point saying we have to have super competitive tax rates, corporate tax rates, in order to attract jobs. And in fact, actually in this document, they sort of show how they highlight that this being able to write off equipment quicker will reduce the marginal tax rate to make us one of the most competitive. But the interesting thing we need to rethink through here that we've never been in again, you know, part of the deal, the sort of social contract is we'll give you low corporate taxes, but in turn, we need you to employ lots of people. That's going to turn into jobs. What we're seeing right now with sort of the, you know, this conversion to AI is we're seeing growth in profits, but it's jobless profits. And so How that works with sort of tax and GDP is interesting. Is we're going to have to sort of rethink to make sure that how do we incentivize labor with
right.
tax? And
two things in your answer, and I've got two different questions now. You said the word history. Do we have some history in Canada that we can look back on and say, okay, here's a time when government decided to spend some money, invest in whether it's infrastructure or just invest somehow in Canada, and it paid off dividends in terms of spiking and driving our economy in a good direction?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at sort of our, you know, the competitiveness of our tax system and investment through that sort of 07 to 14 decade, as are shown in, right in the budget document, you know, we're pretty competitive in that period as far as tax, or at that time, our taxes were quite a bit lower than the U.S. And we see that we rose to second in the in productivity in the G7. So, mm-hmm. so there is some evidence. The interesting thing, which always makes all of this fun to think about, is that it's just because these were the rules and the way it worked yesterday, some of this might be changing.
Right. So, Devin, you mentioned AI as well. I noticed in the budget document the productivity and competitiveness portion of the plan, $110 billion in spending going towards what they're calling regional economic development initiatives. So this is emerging technology, support for sectors like artificial intelligence, quantum, and electric vehicles. So your take on that, the priority they're putting on that and the impact that will have?
Yeah, I think it's essential. And I think, again, I would caveat with that. Can that money be converted into the productivity that we need, into the investments we need that you know, create good jobs in Saskatchewan, you know, new jobs? These jobs may look different than what they look like right now, but can they help create industry and employment here in an economy that uses that uses AI as a really effective and productive tool? And so I think it's a good idea, but I'm interested to see how the execution. The idea that it's regional gives me more hope, because I think places like our Innovation Saskatchewan, they're a bit more in tune to what's going on here and what our needs are. And so I like the idea that they seem to be letting control go to the regions.
How much of this budget, and this is a question that popped into my head about three times yesterday as I was listening to it laid out, how much of this budget relies on other levels of government coming to play?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, because, you know, they have things like the health infrastructure fund, a lot of the
housing,
you know, that's an exact one that that's going to fall to the municipal governments. And so I think they seem to put the pots of money, but it's going to be sort of left to a lot of individuals, to a lot of other organizations and government to again see that turned into value. And so we'll probably see some disparity across the country where some regions are able mm-hmm. to have the right take, get their hands on the money and then use it in a different way. And so that'll be interesting, but I hope we're ready here in Saskatoon,
right.
Saskatchewan.
We're almost out of time, Devin. Devin Meskel is my guest, University of Saskatchewan. But every once in a while, we'll print out the updated list of tariffs. It's so daunting to me, the number of tariffs that we in Canada and all of the industries are facing. How do you see if I'm using a scale example, how does this balance out what we hear in the budget and what we're getting thrashed with in terms of tariffs from all different angles?
Well, the budget takes a pretty optimistic view of what's going to play out here in the world of tariffs, that we've hit sort of a consistency. And the ultimately biggest thing is we continue to really benefit from protection of the Canada-US-Mexico agreement that still protects about 90% of our product from tariffs. So even so, we see these big numbers, you know, I think with the addition of the Ford commercial during the World Series there that cost us another 10% on our tariff. That's still not touching a lot of our product. That's the big question. If at any moment that got torn away, we're in a completely different game where everything mm-hmm. works out different. So, the Supreme Court case going on right now as we speak, that probably, again, helps us. If there's all these other things going on that sort of slow that down, probably buys us time that might not be on the radar, but we really need to keep that in place, that's really what's shielded us from any from much bigger impacts.
Devin, always appreciate you stopping by for a chat. Thanks for popping into studio today.
Hey, thanks, Evan.
Dr. Devin Meskel, professor and Edwards Enhancement Chair in Business, University of Saskatchewan. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener just around the corner here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again to Dr. Devin Meskel. I always enjoy having Devin on the program, Jason Childs, where we started our show. Devin, always a great voice from right here in the province to help understand whether it's taxation, productivity, GDP, all of these things that are so important. And really, that understanding help us decipher the budget and what it ultimately is going to mean for you and I in our day-to-day lives. All right, well, we're going to take a step away from budget. Let's lighten things up a little bit. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener every Wednesday right around now. Let's take a break. We'll be back, and hopefully we give you a chance to play along and win today with Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.